Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hearings get underway tomorrow at the State House and in Washington, looking into the fungal meningitis outbreak that originated at a Framingham compounding pharmacy. A congressional subcommittee of the House Energy and Commerce Committee will look into the matter. Earlier, we spoke with the subcommittee's vice chairman, Congressman Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas who just happens to be a doctor. And we asked him what troubles him the most about the oversight that happened or didn't happen before the crisis.
Well, there is a history going back earlier this last decade of the FDA raising some questions, threatening some action, even with the New England Compounding Center. But I guess one of the big questions I have for tomorrow's hearing is, what did you find then that concerned you, and why do you feel that the FDA did not pursue that?
Now, I think it's important to point out that you're not only a congressman, but you are also a medical doctor, so you're bringing two sets of expertise to this hearing tomorrow. Now, prior to this outbreak, I think most people had never heard of a compounding pharmacy, let alone know exactly what they do. You being a doctor, I'm sure you've heard of them and you're familiar with what they were, but is there a learning curve for the subcommittee as well as to what's going on here?
Yeah, there is, and I'll just tell you, my practice life, where I encountered compounding pharmacies, was usually addressing a need that wasn't met with a commercially available product, like a child that needed a medicine in an elixir form when it didn't exist in the commercially prepared product. And a compounding pharmacy is where you would look to prepare that very individualized prescription. We frequently, in my practice, would use compounding pharmacies for things like topical preparations. Progesterone is something that's not very well absorbed when you take it orally, but can be absorbed in a topical preparation, and progesterone was one of the prescriptions that I would frequently write to a compounding pharmacy. There were just a few of them back in the 70s and 80s, and I really wasn't familiar with the full-scale manufacturing like the New England Compounding Center was doing with production of sterile injectables. An epidural steroid injection is not an unusual procedure. A little bit unusual to have the clinics and pharmacies, the local pharmacies, rely on a compounding pharmacy for something that actually should come from the manufacturer. I mean, we're talking about getting a steroid preparation that, again, it's not that uncommon, but it was prepared in a way that is preservative-free, which it has to be used in a central nervous system setting. Preservatives in those medications can actually be toxic to the nerves involved, and that obviously is not a good thing. So if this was available from the manufacturer, why not just get it through the manufacturer? Was it a cost consideration? Was it one of those things that fell into the broad spectrum of the drug shortages that have been experienced in some part of the country? Why was this even seen as a niche that this pharmacy had to fill?
Did the FDA's oversight of this fail?
Well, that's, of course, the question that is going to be before the committee tomorrow, and it's obviously a pretty big question.
Would you think that maybe tighter federal regulations are needed to ensure the safety of these types of facilities, or should this be left up to the states?
Well, no, here's the issue. I mean, the FDA was already at some point involved in investigating and sent warning letters. Well, they wouldn't have sent a warning letter if they didn't have the authority to act on that, I don't believe. Now, again, it's a question I want to ask tomorrow, but my belief is that if they sent a warning letter, they thought they had the authority on which to act. So if they had the authority on which to act and the behavior didn't change, I mean, it begs the question, why was not the next step taken? And how is additional legislation going to create enforcement when they actually had the authority and didn't exercise it before?
Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Thank you.